CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague and friend Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, awaiting the vote in Taipei, Taiwan, and the rest of the very small republic, capitalist republic with transparency and journalism, Taiwan. We welcome our colleague Jonathan Ward, author of The Decisive Decade, American Grand Strategy for Triumph Over China. Jonathan, the mainland is watching as we're watching. What is the expected reaction from the mainland when, if the polls are consistent going into the vote, the DPP retains the presidency? There's also a legislative election. I understand that it'll have more mixed results, but what do you anticipate from the CCP after all of these threats these last months? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Good evening, Gordon. Well, look, I think at this point, they've made clear their intent. They intend to seize Taiwan ultimately. Whether or not they're in a position to actually do that is another question. But the kinds of exercises they've been doing, especially since Nancy Pelosi's visit a couple of summers ago, show that they're starting to put the Taiwan Strait and the island itself under increasing military duress. So I expect that they would ratchet up the tension in order to be consistent with their position. They've tried to frame this as an election that will decide war and peace. But the real question is, how long can we maintain deterrence? Do we still have a window in which to keep Beijing from ever actually being able to make good on that goals? But seizure of the island is not, of course, the only thing that Beijing can do militarily. There are offshore islands that they could seize. Jinmen and Matsu were the centerpieces of two Taiwan Straits crises in the Cold War. I would expect them to put pressure on those islands, or maybe even seize one of them in the year or two ahead. And then, of course, the possibility for a blockade or encirclement of the island is something that has always been on the table. So, you know, I think we're likely to see increasingly aggressive action from Beijing. And let's not forget, if we go all the way back to the Taiwan Relations Act of 1979, there's a paragraph in there that's very important that I think we speak about too little. And it says, to make clear, the United States' decision to establish diplomatic relations with the People's Republic of China rests upon the expectation that the future of Taiwan will be determined by peaceful means. In other words, the entire basis for U.S.-China diplomatic relations it rests on the idea that they're not going to take violent action against Taiwan. So, you know, they are creating this crisis in U.S.-China relations and certainly in the Indo-Pacific, and it's only one of many different flashpoints. So Beijing, I think, at this point is a known quantity. Their intent, their aggression is all par for the course.
Gordon, you have a question for Jonathan.
Jonathan, Beijing is making it clear that if Vice President William Lai of the Democratic Progressive Party wins, there will be war. Then that leads the issue, what happens if Hou Yuyi of the Kuomintang wins, or Kuo Wenjie of the Taiwan People's Party? Will there be peace?
Well, Gordon, I mean, as what kind of peace it would be is, I think, at the centerpiece of the entire decision here. I mean, the time that I've spent in Taiwan, including in the early 2010s, people had already come around to the conclusion that Hong Kong was an unacceptable outcome. I used to have people telling me, "Wo men bu yao Shanggang hua," which means we don't want to sort of become Hong Kong. They'd already seen that. That was before the actual seizure of Hong Kong in 2018 and 2019, when we saw that all really ramp up. So I think the fact that people don't identify with the PRC, the fact that the Taiwanese identity has really ramped up, and the fact that people are fully aware of what happened to Hong Kong under Chinese rule means that the entire idea of one country, two systems, which has always been the CCP's proposal for the future of Taiwan, has less and less credibility. So would there be peace if the KMT won? I mean, the KMT is, ironically, despite being the losing party in the Chinese Civil War, the more pro-mainland, pro-engagement party. And I think it would result in, let's say, a certain ratcheting down of tensions, but of course, an increase in Beijing's potential influence and their desire to get the outcomes they ultimately want. So I don't think it would be a real peace. I'm not sure it would be accepted by the Taiwanese people, and more mainland influence in China under the guise of sort of stability in the Straits is not necessarily an outcome that does lead to peace.
Is the PLA Navy Air Force capable of an aggressive war to take and hold Taiwan? I note that in Bloomberg over these last days, Jonathan, an article revealing corruption in the rocket forces and some explanation for the sudden change of defense minister, of foreign minister, of generals and rocket forces. The example I used, I favored, was some of the lids of the silos in the northwest of the country don't open because of bad construction and corruption. There's also a report of rockets filled with water instead of rocket fuel. This suggests that there's rot inside the PLA. Is that consistent with your information over these years, that the PLA is a Potemkin army?
Well, John, I think it's hard to understand that fully. I mean, if you think about before the war in Ukraine, when everybody expected Russia to be a very capable army, and then, of course, they've been roundly, pushed back and by the Ukrainians, and, you know, unable to achieve their real objectives. So, you know, you never know until something is in the field. But corruption has always been a problem for the PLA historically. I think that's what's been driving the purges, but also Xi Jinping has been trying to get rid of corruption for the entirety of his 10-year reign. And, you know, the kind of businesses that the PLA sort of senior officers participate in has always been the stuff of amazing anecdotes when living in China or just anything related to the study of the country. But I think the stories that we're seeing, for instance, the Bloomberg story about water in the rockets, I mean, even if these things are true, it's hard to bet the entire military balance on that sort of thing in the Pacific. I mean, what China does have is an enormous industrial base, an enormous shipbuilding base, the ability to churn out platforms at a speed that we cannot match in the U.S. So those are all very real concerns when thinking about how this would really work. You know, they do have the largest missile forces in the world, and they do have a relatively high-tech military. So all of this is why it's a pacing threat for the U.S. Department of Defense. It's why everyone's taking it very seriously. And whether or not they're actually able to pull off successfully something as complex as an actual seizure of Taiwan. I mean, my understanding is that that would be very, very hard for them. If it were to involve the United States or Japan, it would be something that they may not win. I mean, many good reports coming out of Washington, such as the war gaming from CSIS, shows that ultimately the U.S. and our allies would win that war, but at great cost. So nonetheless, I think that sort of predictions before anything happens never turn out to be perfectly true. But corruption in the PLA is a truthful thing, and the lack of actual experience in the field is another serious factor.
Gordon, we have less than a minute if you have a quick question.
So, Jonathan, what's happening with Xi Jinping and all the purges? Is this corruption or is this an attempt to enforce discipline and maybe loyalty?
Less than a minute, Jonathan.
I think it's both. I mean, that's how these things tend to work. I mean, on one hand, there's the purge of corruption that made him popular from the beginning. But then, of course, there's the question of ensuring that everybody around him is loyal to him and willing to execute his commands, which I think does speak to the intent that he makes clear on a very regular basis about preparing for war. I think he does want to be sure that those around him are willing to execute his orders.
Jonathan Ward, his new book is The Decisive Decade: American Grand Strategy for Triumph Over China. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. Hours until the Taiwan vote, and then we shall see Xi Jinping. Over to you. This is John Batchelor, CBS Eye on the World.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.